Hello and welcome to What Would Jesus Do podcast. I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Eden.
We're recording episode 4 today. So good to be back. It's been a roller coaster. We've gone from episode 1. I mean, we've grown a lot. We're recording episode 2, episode 3, and now on episode 4. Kindergarten stage. I feel like we've learned a lot in the process and we're still learning, unlearning and relearning. It's pretty good and we're excited to share something new with you guys. So welcome aboard. If you're new to What Would Jesus Do podcast, this is a platform where we share hot takes on navigating this Christian life in this generation. It's a no judgment zone. We're just sharing our faith. We're in no way pastors or deaconesses. We're just Bible believers and believers in Christ, and we just want to share our experiences through this podcast, and hopefully you'll learn, and hopefully if you're an unbeliever you'll learn from us and come into the faith. We welcome you.
Welcome.
All right, so today we have something interesting for you. We're going to be talking about loyal to the faith. How do you feel about this one, Eden?
I'm interested in what you want to talk about, because I'm like, okay, am I loyal? I think I am. But let's get into it.
Yeah. So a couple of months ago, I was studying the word and it was fascinating to read some of our Bible Hall of Famers and even the ones that we've read about but are not quite popular in the Bible. But you know their story. So I wanted us to get into it. Like, we have the story of Rahab, Ruth, Jael. Like, can we unpack the stories? Because there comes a time in your life as a Christian where it's almost like you're hiding and you don't want people to know that you're deep in your faith. You don't want people to know that you know how to pray or you preach. There was a time in my life where I used to minister to teenagers in my church, but at work I was a completely different person. They knew that I was a Christian, but they didn't know what I was doing. They didn't know that I was serving in church. They didn't know I was that deep into my faith. So I wanted us to like discuss why some Christians shy away from putting themselves out there. Do you want to talk about that?
Maybe they're not fully confident. So let's say someone asks you about the Bible. Are you able to talk about it? Do you know the Bible? Do you read the Bible?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If somebody asks you a question about your faith, are you confident enough or able to respond? So that could be part of it. Another part of it is because they're still doing things that doesn't differentiate them from unbelievers. So, you know, them still doing things that quote unquote unbelievers do.
Yeah.
And then trying to say that they're Christian, they'll be called out for being hypocrites.
Yeah.
So they just don't even, you know, come out as being a Christian or a believer, so that they don't get that judgment, I guess.
Yeah, you have a point. I think at that time in my life, I would say you're right. I was probably not that confident in my faith, in the sense that I was probably struggling with other things at the time and I wasn't really feeling confident. I didn't want to, you know, put myself in a questionable position where it's almost like, I thought you said you're a Christian, you know, even though
you know,
I was
people are quick to say that.
Yeah, they're so quick
they
to say
very
that.
Very quick to say that.
I thought you were a Christian. So what kind of Christian are you? But it's funny how even us as Christians, we don't give people the benefit of the doubt. We're so quick to judge.
Yeah.
We just believe that since you're a Christian. There's no grace for you being a beginner as a Christian or you being intermediate or senior. Yeah, yeah. I don't think there's anything like...
Even if you're a senior, like, we're human beings. Yeah, we can make mistakes.
There's nothing like being a junior or an intermediate or a senior Christian. You're a Christian, you're Christian, whether you're a beginner or not. So I think that was the fear for me. I wasn't able to put myself out there because I didn't want to be judged based on my level of faith at the time. So I would hide myself and shy away from conversations because what if I say the wrong thing? What if I say something and they're like, Christian? You know, but I don't know. But that's my story. And I think that was a very valid point. You don't really feel confident yet, but I would say don't be afraid to speak. Don't be afraid to act as a Christian, regardless of when you started in your faith, whatever level of faith you're in, as long as you've already confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, it's a done deal. Just begin to exercise that faith and grow
learn, relearn, unlearn from certain, you know, behaviors.
It's a journey.
Right? It's a journey. Let nobody judge you. God is the only judge, right? So yeah, that was an interesting take. Which brings me to the next one. It says, how do you react when someone you look up to or respect does something questionable as a Christian? So you're a Christian, so you have someone you look up to,
like a pastor,
like a pastor. Okay. Let's just get it out there. A pastor, or even your dad,
okay,
or an uncle, or someone does something questionable. How do you react as a Christian?
What do you mean, like questionable?
I mean, it's like a broad. It's broad.
Okay. Broad. Well, I mean, first of all,
it could be something that you consider a sin, or something that you consider, I don't know, just questionable.
So I think I've come a long way, because I mean, being now the age that I am, I'm a very young lady, but you know, I'm a mature young lady. I've come a long way. So I definitely used to be those kind of self-righteous Christians when I was younger, and oh my gosh, you're sinning. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did that. Oh my God, you're going to hell. But now it's like, we're human, you know. Yeah. The goal and the intention each day is to live a life that is pleasing unto God.
Yeah.
But you have to be able to grant people grace, you know. You freely receive grace from Jesus, yes, but we're not supposed to abuse it, you know. So, yes, we're living each day, trying to live to the fullest, trying to live to the best of our ability in a way that is in alignment with God and is pleasing to God.
Yeah.
However, things can happen and you can fall and you can make a mistake, and his arms are open to receive you again. So with that in mind, that we have that gift of grace and God forgives us when we do fall unintentionally, not intentionally.
Yeah.
You know? I have that in mind, that I try to grant other people grace. Like today, not someone that I hold in high esteem, but today people were getting on my nerves, man. Everybody was getting on my nerves today. Like while I was driving here, like people were driving crazy, cutting me off and all this other stuff. And all of that can make you angry, you know?
Sure.
But then I speak to myself and I'm like, grant these people grace. You don't know what they're going through. Mm-hmm. You don't even know if they were rushing somewhere, or they had something, they're late to work, or something happened to a family member, they're rushing home, or you don't know what people are going through. And just grant people grace. So back to your question, because I feel like I deviated a little bit. When someone you look up to does something questionable, I feel like grant them grace and pray for them. If it's right out like a sin, like an actual sin, and you know it, you could talk to them about it if you are at that level of comfort or closeness with them. But for me, I would pray about it, pray for them, and grant them grace.
Okay. So I like the fact that you said you pray for them and you grant them grace. But what if it's now an habitual sin, or if it's, let's say, for instance, without cutting corners, right? Let's not cut corners. We don't want to sprinkle. You know, what if it's a pastor, your pastor, and you go to this church and you can clearly see that this pastor is sinning. You've heard about it. You know, there are a lot of stories circulating around pastors right now doing
fornicating, adultery.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, all of that
gist. I'm out of there.
I'm leaving. Exactly. That was where I was getting to. Okay. What do you do in that case? I'm glad that we started with the, you know, the surface level. So we're going somewhere. What do you do in that situation? I don't feel like I should be fed by that person spiritually.
1000%. Especially if it's something that they haven't owned up to and tried to fix.
Yes.
And they're just continuing in it, or trying to hide it and cover it. Then definitely you can't grow in that kind of place.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, you're not serving the pastor. You're serving God. In a way, you're serving church. Jesus is the head of the church.
but in some way, the pastor is a shepherd, is the leader in that church. And if you're worshiping in that church, you kind of like owe him a certain loyalty. But when you feel like you cannot be loyal because this pastor has severed himself, himself from his consecration, then you need to like take a step back and figure out who you're truly serving. You know, 1,000%. Who are you truly serving?
Well, back to what you were saying, as far as like, you know, the pastor is, besides obviously Jesus is the head of the church, but the pastor is the shepherd that Jesus has put in charge over a certain amount of people.
Yeah.
So if something's wrong with the head, it's going to affect the rest of the body, you know?
1,000%.
Yeah. And then also, I feel like you can be loyal, but not to the detriment of your soul, not to the detriment of your faith and your walk with God. You know what I mean? So in the example that you just gave where your pastor, and not just, it's not just rumors, like you have proof, you've seen it, and you know this pastor is sinning and doing adultery or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
You have the responsibility to remove yourself from that place if that pastor has not owned up to it and has not tried to change and not tried to, because yes, we fall, but you don't stay down in sin.
Yeah.
You get back up again and you try to live a life that's pleasing unto God. So you have the responsibility to remove yourself from there. But if that was your pastor, like what I mentioned before, you pray for them.
Yeah.
Even if you remove yourself from there and, you know, find a better place where you can grow spiritually and where the ground has not been, let's say, tainted. You can still pray for him or her.
Yeah. You know, I was fascinated about this topic, and why I'm asking this question is because of the story of Eli and Samuel. His son? And Samuel.
Oh, okay.
Samuel was serving under Eli, the prophet. Mm-hmm. Eli was a corrupt prophet in some sort of way because he wasn't disciplining his sons.
Yeah.
Right? God had already warned him, but he knew that his sons were misbehaving right in the temple. He was aware. It's not as if he was oblivious of what was happening. Mm-hmm. You know, and he did nothing to change. He did nothing to, you know, change the order of business in church. He did nothing whatsoever. And in that era, Samuel was serving. But Samuel, there's nowhere in the Bible that says Samuel did anything to intervene. That was why I asked this question. What do you do when someone you look up to, especially a pastor in this case, does something questionable? Because you're serving in that same church. You're seeing your pastor allowing all of those misdemeanor in the church, and you just go, Mom, I'm not sure why Samuel didn't say anything or didn't do anything or did not leave. Could it be that he felt like he owed Eli his life? Could it be that?
Or maybe, well, you know, so Hannah, his mom, gave him to God.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe he felt like, this is my home. This is the temple of God, is my home. Like, I'm not leaving for y'all.
And I feel like he was probably waiting for his time.
Yeah.
Because at that time, he had already heard from God as well.
Remember,
he started off with a story of him hearing someone calling him, and he thought it was Eli.
Right.
And then
he
went like three times, and then Eli told him the next time he hears, I should say, here I am, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. But after that period, we then hear the story of Eli being a corrupt leader and whatnot. So I feel like maybe he didn't make any decision because he felt like this was his home, like you said.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that he believed that he was going to take over,
maybe God had already told
him the home, because Eli was already old. He was also going to keep the home, so whatever it is, his time was going to come, but it wasn't time and it wasn't his place to speak,
right?
So he didn't think it would be good to leave. So I'm just going to leave it at that, because I don't like to create a story that I'm not sure of.
I like what you said just now, because that's another thing. It's not his place to speak. So your leader, it's not really your place to correct them, which is why I said you can remove yourself, and then you could pray for them, but your pastor is not necessarily your place to go and tell them, oh, what you did is wrong, you shouldn't have done that, blah 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 blah. We could look at the case of Moses, and when Aaron and Miriam were complaining about him, and God definitely struck Miriam for complaining about, even though he was actually wrong, Moses, what he was doing was wrong. Yes. You know, but it's like, touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. Mm-hmm. Don't talk about him like that. It's not your business.
You know, I'm so curious. You know? I'm so curious as to why Aaron was not punished and it was just Miriam. I still don't get it.
You know, let's just leave it.
Let's just leave it.
I was wondering about that too, but anyway.
I was wondering, but I like where this is going on. Thank you for making it broad, because it made me remember that story of Eli and Samuel, and I wanted someone to answer that question for me. I'm glad that we had that discussion. So this brings me to the next question. What's the main reason why Christians shy away from discussing sensitive matters, especially if it's one that will put them in a tight spot? So
sensitive.
Yeah, so sensitive cases. It could be anything really. So for instance, it could be singing certain songs in a church. So there was this time in Nigeria, there was this song, Godwin.
Godwin. I love that song.
Godwin. So it was sung by a secular artist.
Right.
But the gist was, there was this pastor who invited him over to their church to sing it. He's not a chorister. This is like a secular artist.
Right.
He was invited on stage, on the altar, to sing with the church choristers. So like, what do you do in this case? Because I'm curious.
Okay, so what was the problem? Because he's a secular artist.
Because he's a secular
that
artist,
that doesn't mean he's not a believer. He could be a believer.
Yeah, but you know, there's this conversation about you being anointed to sing on the altar, because as a chorister, you're not just like singing, you're a minister.
Right.
So this secular artist is a secular artist, is not a minister, even though he believes in God.
How do you know he's not a minister in his church?
But he's not. He's not. We're talking about a popular artist here. He's not a minister in church. Like, he sings secular music. If it was, like, if it was a like chorister in church, we would know. Because this person is a popular artist. I don't want to mention his name, but like...
But we already mentioned it anyway. No, what I'm trying to say is, like, how do we know he didn't grow up in the church and he wasn't a minister in his church before he...
The gist is, even if it were, but like, at that point, was he a minister?
Okay.
You know, it's like saying, oh, R. Kelly grew up in church. And, you know.
I mean, a lot of these artists do start in church.
Yeah. So would you say because R. Kelly grew up in church and he was a chorister in church, would you let him stand on the altar to sing, he saved me because he was once a chorister?
So for me, I don't see a problem with it if he's singing a song that glorifies God and he's genuine. Yeah. You know what I mean? So the pastor is the leader of that church, and he deemed it all right for his church to call I don't want to call his name, that artist, and to sing God Win. I actually love that song, and I think there's nothing wrong with that song. I don't know. I don't think it's a problem.
Yeah, so it's not even about it being a problem, but why do Christians shy away from having these conversations? Because we always have this side talks like, oh my God, why is this person on stage? He's a sinner, or he's a non-believer, or is not a chorister, is not anointed to do so. Mm-hmm. Why should he be on stage in church or in a place of worship singing our song or singing a song?
I think Christians should worry about what they need to worry about and leave other things alone, because that's like not even something to even make a fuss about.
If
he's on stage singing what kind of secular song, about shaking yash or something like that, then that we can have a problem with. But he's over there talking about God, giving glory to God, leave it like that. How do we know if that experience and him coming into that altar is going to change his life? Like,
thank you.
You know what I mean? You don't know if he's going to have his own personal encounter. Don't be so quick to judge people, to cast people away because they don't come in the package that you expect them to come in. You know what I mean? So I don't think there's any problem with that.
I thought it was just a doctrine. You know, it's one thing to be a believer, is one thing to be in a church, and it's another to have a doctrine. And that was what the that was what the Hebrews did at a time where they kept judging Jesus. They would say, oh, remember that lady that was bent over for 18 years and Jesus healed her on a Sabbath.
Yeah.
And instead of them to be pleased and rejoice about the miracle, they went ahead and said, oh, you could have healed her any other day. Why did you heal her on a Sabbath. This lady had been there, bent over for 18 years. Instead of you to celebrate the fact that she's healed, why did you not heal her every other day? You've been seeing her bent over for days. Nobody healed her, but you're complaining, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's crazy how people just, they dismiss their faith and forget that, hey, we're serving this God, and it doesn't really matter what day of the week that you decide to perform miracles. Just be happy that this person, you know, is delivered. This person has received a blessing and just go on with your life. Why does everything have to be doctrinal? Mm. Oh, she's wearing earrings. Oh, she's wearing anklets.
She's wearing makeup.
Jezebel.
She has a ribbon. Oh my God. Oh my God. Like, God does not care about none of that.
No.
You know what I mean? Oh my gosh. You know... Let me, I don't want to put people on blast, but one of these last events that my church had, our church.
Yeah.
So the choir was singing and they did a live broadcast of it. And so the choir, we didn't cover our hair. Okay. And we were wearing like dangly earrings. And you should have seen the comments on Facebook.
Wow.
Like, oh my gosh, have respect for God. Cover your hair. You shouldn't be wearing dangling earrings on the altar. Meanwhile, that day, the presence of God was so palpable.
Wow.
It was so thick and heavy. I'm telling you, bro, sis, God does not care about if you cover your hair or not. That's a doctrine. That might be something that your church does, and if you're part of that church, then sure, follow it. If it is in your church doctrine, and it won't impede your walk with God, it won't stop your faith, then sure, follow that. But don't think that anybody that doesn't cover their hair is disrespecting God.
Yeah.
Anybody that doesn't cover their hair, God is not going to listen to your praise and worship. That's wrong. Yeah. So I feel like some Christians, they take this doctrine too much to heart.
Yeah.
And they start to use that as a measure for other people, other Christians as well, and start to feel like, oh, I'm better than those other Christians because I do so, so, and so. There's some Christians who don't wear makeup, who don't wear earrings, who don't wear certain things. And a lot of them feel better than other Christians who do wear makeup or wear earrings or do their hair or get weaves or stuff like that, which is wrong. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you believe in a certain doctrine and you feel that that is helping your Christian walk and your Christian faith, all well and good. That's perfect for you, sis, bro.
Whatever makes you happy.
But don't use that as a measure for other Christians and feel like you're better than them or they're less than or they're not really having a relationship with God, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for that.
Those comments pain, Misha.
You just had to put it out there.
It pained me.
It is, Sis was pained. All right. So next one is, I want us to actually talk about a time when our faith was tested to the point of compromise. Was there any time where your faith was tested and you compromised? Or even if you didn't compromise, like, can you share? I'm asking this
think about it.
Because you remember the story of the two midwives? Mm-hmm. In Egypt, when the children of Israel were still in the land of Egypt, and Pharaoh felt threatened by the Israelites because they kept growing and they were strong and, you know, they were growing in wealth and in everything. And then he ordered all male children to be killed.
Yeah, yeah.
And at that time, there were two midwives who were always helping the Hebrew women when it was time for them to give birth. When they would go in to help the Hebrew women, they would give birth and they would not kill the babies, because Pharaoh ordered these women to make sure that they kill the babies as soon as they give birth, if it's a male. They made sure that they did not do it because of the fear of God. They were loyal to their faith, and they knew that they could not do that. It was either God or death. They chose death. As far as I'm concerned, it's almost like, I'll rather die than
compromise.
Than compromise or be disloyal to my faith. Mm-hmm. And that's what these two women did. And then when Pharaoh questioned them in the long run, they made a statement. They were like, the Hebrew women are a bit different. I'm just, you know, paraphrasing it. They're built different, you know, because they give birth without help. And before the midwives, before they get to them, they've already given birth. So there's no way for them to actually take the babies and cure them. That was their excuse to Pharaoh. And the Bible says God blessed them. Mm-hmm. God blessed this Hebrew woman. So that brings this question. Like, has there been a time where you had to compromise your faith?
I'm trying to think.
If you were this Hebrew woman at the time of Pharaoh, would you have actually killed those babies?
I mean, being the person that I am, yeah. I don't believe I would have killed any babies, because thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
What would I have done?
They didn't even know anything about thou shalt not kill at that time.
Like, yeah. I don't know what I would have done. I wouldn't have killed anybody, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But would I still be going to work and talking to Pharaoh and stuff? I don't think so. I might have to run away.
Well, evacuate. Can you run away if you're in the land of Egypt? But I'm not trying to put you in that situation. I'm saying, like, has there ever been a time, like, personally, not to allude to that story, but, like, personally, has there been a time where you felt like you could have said the truth, or you could have just said no, but you compromised? Or has there been a time where you were at a point of compromise, but in the end, you were victorious? It doesn't have to be a case of you being compromising. I would go first. So,
yeah, I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
So there was a time where I was trusting God for a job. Mm. And in fact, that was a time when Alleluia Challenge started. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I hopped on a challenge. I was doing it. I was very religious about it, believing God. I already knew the police, the agency I wanted to work with. I wasn't going to settle for just any agency. I'd done the hard work and put myself out there. Submitted my portfolio, and you know, I was just trusting God, praying, dancing. In fact, it was Alleluia Challenge, just dance, but I was also praying and believing God. And when it finally happened, somebody at my place of work at the time, after I'd already gotten the job and everything, the person asked me, oh, was it Alleluia Challenge that got you this job? The person asked me that question in a derogatory way, almost like I didn't get that job on merit. Like, I wasn't supposed to get this job. Like, how did they hire you? Why would they hire you? Who do you think you are? You know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It was very condescending in the way he asked me that question. This person was like a senior person to me, right? So when he asked that question, I was like, no, because I wanted to prove that, you know, I was smart too, you know, I had the right to be there. At that point, I was thinking about, yeah, I know that God helped me, but at that point, I was like, I wasn't even thinking that without God, I wouldn't have gotten it. I was just thinking, well, I was smart too, so I could have gotten a job. After all, I was poached for it. The creative director poached me for that job before the Alleluia Challenge and everything. So I took credit for it. I felt so bad after I said that thing. He asked me, he was like, oh, was it Alleluia Challenge that got you here? And I just immediately, I didn't even know. I just blurted it. I was like, no. I immediately felt so bad after I said it. It was terrible. I felt terrible. And I made up my mind that I would never, ever, because I didn't like the way I felt after I said it. You know, that was me compromising and being disloyal to my faith.
I cannot think of anything right now.
But no, I mean, it's okay. I just wanted to put it out there, because I know that sometimes, especially even when you're sharing testimonies, right?
Yeah.
So many times I have watched people share their testimony and I begin to wonder if it's a show. We get it that God is awesome, you know, Jehovah is over, he can be overdo, you know.
Some people do put on a show. But
I do believe that people also put on a show.
Definitely.
Right? Is it that you're not satisfied with how big God moved, that you want to add Jara? Like, you must add something.
There's nothing to add for you.
Yeah. Are they clapping for you, or clapping, or should they be clapping for God?
Yeah.
Like, who should take the glory, really? So these are all the things that I wanted us to unpack. And I wanted people to learn from this also. God is the only person that should take the glory for anything that happens to your life as a believer, no matter how little it is, the littlest things. I can remember times when I would write things down and say, oh God, I need this phone, or I need this speaker, or I need this, and I need the littlest things. And then it would be so exciting, because I like to journal. So mm-hmm. the little things, and when it happens, I'm like, oh my God, see the date that I wrote this thing, and see when it happened. As little as the type of phone I wanted, and God would just do it. I'm not trying to take the glory for anything. I'm bragging because, like, this God that I said, I want this thing, and he does it in the exact same way. So what are we talking about? Why do you want to, like, take glory for something that you did not do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. that is you compromising your faith. So I wanted to just put this out there because I know it's something that happens to a lot of people. It happened to me, and I've learned from it. When I think about it, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I broke Jesus's heart.
So I have a question. Yeah. I don't know if this has anything to do with this topic, but uh-huh. it just came to mind, like, okay, so somebody asks you something that you don't want to answer,
mm-hmm.
but you respect this person, or let's say it's even your pastor.
Yeah.
And they're asking you a question that you do not want to answer. So how do you go about it without lying?
Oh, I'm just going to simply say I'm not comfortable answering that question. I'm pretty
What
bold.
If it's your mother it was or your my- father? Because you know you can't tell your mom or your dad, oh, I don't feel comfortable answering that question.
Well, I'm trying to think of a time where sometimes before I would lie. I tell my mom and say, I can't tell you. And if she keeps pestering, I'm like, okay, it happened like this and like that and like that, like that, just to dismiss her. But now I think I've gotten to a stage in my life where I just tell my mom or my dad, if it's my mom or my dad, because they respect me to a point, because they know that I'm a believer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I wouldn't want to lie. So when I tell them, I can't talk about this right now, give me time. I don't think now is the right time to talk about it. When I feel comfortable, I'll let you know. Or I just say,
I like that relationship.
Honestly.
African parents.
No, so it takes a lot of, you give respect to get it. Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it depends on the level of relationship that you have That's with your true. Parents.
Some of our African parents are not going to hear that.
Yeah, but you're an but adult. Yeah. You're an adult. And as an African parent, because my parents are African parents now.
Yeah. That's why I said I love that relationship. Now, African parents,
I mean, if you ask me, I'm no longer living with you. Unless you're living under your parents' roof and like they're paying your bills. So, yes. So, okay, let me put myself in their shoes, right? They're paying my bills.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to look at it from that perspective. If they're paying my bills and as an adult, I'm living in the house, I don't have a choice, you know? They ask me, hey. And it depends. I don't know what kind of question you're referring to, but
something you don't want to answer.
Something I don't want to answer. I don't know. I can't, I don't know. But I don't know because I've never been in that situation.
I've been in that situation. I've definitely been in that situation where somebody that I held in high regard asked me some intimate questions that I did not want to answer. And I told the truth though, because I really don't like lying, you know, but it made me feel uncomfortable that this person like sort of like violated my privacy, you know what I mean? Because they know my character as far as someone who does not like to lie.
Yeah.
So they know if they ask me questions they shouldn't be asking me, that's none of their business, that I'm gonna tell them because I don't like to lie. You know what I mean?
But to even let me backtrack a bit, because now that you said that, if I were in that situation, you put me in a very uncomfortable spot. If I don't want to answer, I will not answer.
What would you say?
I probably would. I don't know what I would say, but like,
my husband has been helping me though, because now I say it as well. That's all
like,
I say.
I think we should like, okay, so for instance, maybe I'm living under my parents' roof as an adult. And would it be a question of as an adult and a believer, or I'm still like growing in my faith? Or I think that's better.
As an adult and a believer.
I think as an adult and as a believer living under my parents' roof, if they ask me a question like, hey, trying to look for something very uncomfortable.
Are you a virgin?
Are you a virgin?
Okay. Yeah, that's a very uncomfortable question. Like, coming from your parents.
As a believer.
Yeah.
You're living in your parents' house and you're like, I can't answer that question. I can't answer that question.
Next question, please.
As a believer, yeah, that's what I would say. I get coconut head small too, but like, I'll tell them, I can't answer that question. I'm sorry.
I think the answer to the question is say it as well.
Moving on.
But
But yeah, if I was an unbeliever, for sure, I would lie. I would definitely lie. But no, thank God I'm not in that shoe and never been in that situation. But yeah, I have cool parents anyway. So it brings me to the next question. It says, as a Christian soldier, what would you not be caught doing, especially in this day and age?
What would I not be caught doing?
Yes.
I would not be caught not praying.
Girl, you better pray. Be prayed up.
And boy, you better pray.
Be prayed up.
You gotta stay prayed up.
Better stay prayed up.
Okay.
What would I not be caught doing as a believer in this day and age? The tons of things I won't be caught cursing. I would not, you would not catch me cursing out.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What do you, okay, besides the F word and all those other stuff, do you think, I don't want to say the words now, but what is cursing? Like, you know what I mean?
Okay, you know what? We need to actually talk about this because it's a word, right?
For instance, calling someone stupid, is that a curse?
It's not.
Okay.
It's not a curse. I'm talking about vulgar,
like vulgar language. Okay.
You know, you're just raining profanities. As a believer, you should not be caught doing that. I can call someone stupid. Jesus said a lot of, you're foolish. Before you know, go to Proverbs. Please read Proverbs, read Ecclesiastes. You will know that. Even read the story of Jesus, you will know.
I'll just ask him because.
Any small thing, you're a fool.
The Lord is still working on me because, like I said, people were annoying me today. And I was like, this. These blank people. I didn't curse, but you know,
yeah,
these annoying people.
No, that's not.
Yeah,
because I remember having a conversation with someone last month, I think, and she sent me a video about a woman. She had two daughters and she gave one preferential treatment, the younger one preferential treatment because she was gorgeous. And the other one was not as, she was doe-eyed, like the Bible would say about, you know.
This is real life?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
parents need to stop doing that.
So I went on to say it's possible because the story was not clear. We don't know if the other daughter is actually hers. It doesn't say. Doesn't say. So I went on to say it's possible that this woman is her stepmom because I don't understand how you would do that. I don't understand how, as a mother, you would allow the younger one to disrespect the older one just because. So the case was the younger one was gorgeous and she was always like, she had suitors and a boyfriend used to come into the house. The boyfriend would come and it would see the older sister and not even like as much as greets or at least show some respect. It would just pass, just very nonchalant about everything. And then the sister too, the same thing. At some point the sister stopped greeting the elder sister and the mom was aware of all of this to the point where the mom now said, well, since you've been in this house, how many men have come to look for you? That statement coming from your mom. So I was so sure that that woman was not
her biological mom.
So, and I said, any mother who would do that is a stupid woman. That was what I can't remember. I think I said foolish. I don't know. I'm not sure. But like I said something along that line. And then she was like, how can you see that? She's older than you. She's an elderly woman. I was like, so I'm not being rude. I'm stating the obvious. I'm saying she's foolish for doing that. Being foolish is a word. It's a verb. You know, she did something foolish. In fact, it might be termed disrespectful. But as a Christian, I don't think it's disrespectful to call out something that's obvious.
Yeah.
You know, if the Bible calls out foolishness, if Jesus could call out foolishness, who am I not to call out something that was foolish? You know, so hence me addressing what you said. Is it wrong to say something, someone is stupid? No, it's not wrong. If the person acted stupidly, you're stupid, you know, but it depends on the situation that led to you making that statement. If you're saying
the context,
if you're just, you know, throwing out cuss words or just insulting people flagrantly, then you need to question yourself as
So
that's
why I said the Lord is still working on, you know,
vulgar languages, throwing out profanities is not Christian like.
Right.
You should not be caught doing any of that, simply put. Is there anything else I would not be caught doing in this day and age? can't think of anything right now besides that. Maybe because I mentioned this one so quickly. I'm just surrounded by people just throwing out curse words. Any small thing, bleep, 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 bleep. You can't complete a sentence without cussing. And it gives me the ick, so especially as a believer. So.
It does, yeah. It does. I remember being a kid, and in that era when I was trying to be quote-unquote cool. And I would try to like it, I would say, let's say, the F word, and it would sound so weird and sound so uncomfortable for me, and then I'll try to keep repeating it to like get used to it, and then I was just like, this is not for me. Yeah. Why am I forcing myself? Man, just be yourself. Be yourself. Be yourself. Be genuine. Don't try to be what you're not.
Simply put. But yeah, this has been a very interesting conversation. I'm glad that we aired a lot of things. Secret things. Mm. Things that are uncomfortable. This shit is hot right now. We don't have some things to set. But yeah, I'm glad that we had a very uncomfortable conversation. And we had some comfortable conversations as well. That's why this podcast exist, is to have hot takes, to share hot takes on how we're just navigating this Christian life. And it's not just us, you
without
know, you
can Jesus see, glitter.
Yeah, without Jesus glitter, because you can also see it from our perspective and see it from your perspective as well, based on the conversations that we're having. So I hope that you had a good time tuning in to episode 4 of What Would Jesus Do podcast. Again, I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Eden.
So thank you for joining us on What Would Jesus Do podcast. If you're a believer who's maybe fallen in the faith and you want to rededicate your life to Christ, this is the best place to be. Our DMs are open. We're not pastors, we're neither preachers or deaconesses. Mm-hmm. We're just believers who are grounded in the word. We can help in one way or the other. We can also link you to a pastor if you'd like that. But yeah, this is a free space. And if you're an unbeliever and want to dedicate your life to Christ, welcome aboard!
Welcome!
because truly, you know, being a believer in Christ is fun. It's a fun place to be. It's not all rosy. Well, we promise you that it will be worthwhile in the end, because this journey never ends. We keep on pushing. We keep on talking about Jesus, loving up on God, because he's been so good. He's been so kind. It will always be good. It will always be kind. And we can't wait to meet him on the last day, because, he's coming back.
This is not our home.
This is not our home. We're just here temporarily.
Yeah, we're just passing through.
Okay. So if you're ready to give your life to Christ or rededicate your life to Christ, I'd like to say this prayer with you. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I come to you today in total surrender.
I come to you today in total surrender.
I believe that you're the Son of God.
I believe that you are the Son of God.
And that you died on the cross of Calvary for my sins.
And that you died on the cross of Calvary for my sins.
And rose again on the third day.
And rose again on the third day.
Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice.
Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice.
I repent today from my old ways.
I repent today from my old ways.
I give my life to you.
And I give my life to you.
Forgive me for my sins.
Forgive me for my sins.
And wash me clean with your blood.
And wash me clean with your blood.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Yay! We're a believer. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thanks again for joining us. This is What Will Jesus Do podcast, episode 4.
Episode 4.
Bye.